Welcome to Love Where You Live, a podcast where we have conversations about why it's awesome to live in Boulder County. And today, I am joined by a friend of mine who I've now known for 3 years. And as I was thinking about this podcast with my friend, I was thinking, gosh, this is going to be equal parts for me and for everyone out there, because I get to learn a lot about Mr. Peter Hall today with you. So without further ado, I'll say who we have on the show. I'll first say thank you, Peter, for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I should be polite and extend that before I continue to jabber on. But Peter Hall, so a husband to his beautiful wife, Catherine. Yep. Catherine, I said that with an F. Catherine. And then a father to two wonderful daughters, Freya and Stella. And a dog dad to Greta. And that's on the surface. That's kind of how I present you, because like a lot of my interactions with you is just as a family man.
Yep, it's true.
It's pretty true. And then some of the background, currently, and I had to write this down because this is a cumbersome title. You're the president of U.S. Away From Home at Kraft Heinz. Is that correct? Or we've changed that?
It's changed slightly.
Oh, good. Give me the real story.
So I'm the president of North American Away From Home for Kraft Heinz, plus Kraft Heinz Ingredients Corporation, plus small stores.
See, and all of that, maybe we're going to come to that, because all of that makes sense to me on paper. Yeah. But we were talking once, you said, hey, it's just a title. I'll tell you a little bit about what I do. Let's come back to that, because okay. I feel like kind of calling you as a father, as a family man is how I know you. But I met you as a client who I was lucky enough to become friends with.
Yep.
So it happens that way. We either go from friend to client or client to friend, sometimes both ways. So lucky enough to encounter you in the real estate world. And my introduction, Peter, this is how I remember. You said, hey, we get on a call. You're living in Canada, but you're calling from the UK, which is obviously where home was.
Yep.
And you say, I'm moving to Boulder. And I just need to be within 2 hours of Chicago. And I'm like, well, Boulder, Colorado, right? And you say, yes, I just need to be within 2 hours of Chicago. And I said, okay, well, we've got that, I guess. You said, well, there's an airport. And then we got to know one another. We have a lot in common. You like to go outside and spend your time outside. I like to do that as well. We both have kids. We kind of relate. So that's my first intro to you.
Yep.
And did I miss anything there?
No, I think that's about me. There's not a lot more to say.
There's not a lot more to say. Okay. So let's do this. So let's just go all the way to the back. We're not in Boulder yet. We're not on that call. We'll come to that. Let's just go all the way back. Where did you grow up and what was it like as a little kid growing up where you grew up?
Oh, so I'm from the north of England. Yes. I grew up in a town called Leeds. I grew up in a little village on the outskirts of a town called Leeds. And Leeds is a working class town. It's an industrial town. It was very wealthy once upon a time. Industry, wool. It was like right at the heart of the Industrial Revolution. And like a lot of those northern towns in England that were industrial, when industry leaves, it becomes a good working class town and there's not a lot left. And
gotcha.
People work hard and enjoy their football / soccer and enjoy going for a beer and a drink. And my life was in a little village surrounded by farms. My dad was in the dairy industry and I've got two sisters and one brother. And we spent our time outside annoying the farmers, working, going to watch football, playing sport. And that's what we did. It was a good fun time. Remember those days when there wasn't a phone and your mom kicked you out and you off you went and then you came back 12 hours later when you were hungry. That was my entire upbringing.
That was it, 100%. Are you the youngest, oldest, middle? Remind me that.
So I've got two older and one younger.
Okay. And your brother's younger and your sisters are older?
No, other way around. Other way. So I've got an older sister. An older brother, and then a younger sister.
Okay. So you're a middle child. Okay. So you're growing up and you're just out there free form. You're not working the farm. Your dad's in the industry, but you're just playing, basically.
Just playing.
Okay.
You've got a knife. I grew up with a knife and sharpening sticks and doing dumb things that kids did in the 80s.
Understood. Okay. Understood. And so some, and again, I'm playing along with some of the stuff I already know too. So you had to eventually maybe find some sport, something that drew you maybe towards a different, more structured path.
Yeah. So I played sport all the time.
But yeah.
In England, football is the game. And unfortunately, I realized very early on that my feet were not meant to be kicking a ball around. They were meant for other things. And they were actually meant for stamping on people. So it was my game was rugby. So I fell in love with rugby at a young age. And we were in a stage with rugby where it was, all the talk was it was going to become professional.
Right.
Because it was amateur. It was purely amateur.
Okay.
And, it's going to become professional. And as I'm 15, it's starting to become professional. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to be a rugby player. That was everything. That's where I spent all my time. That's where I spent my energy. I was in the gym, lifting weights, eating as much food as I could humanly get down in to try and get bigger.
Nice.
That's what I did. But rugby was the sort of focus point for me. It wasn't going to school. It wasn't reading books. It was none of that. It was
rugby.
It was rugby.
And stomping on people.
And I was really good at it.
Yes. So rugby starts to call your name and you're responding. You're 15. You started at what age?
Oh, I started at properly at 10.
10. So you're 10, 11, 12. You go in, they start to say, hey, this could be serious. At what point do you think, hey, this is something that I want to really get after? Like, I am going to be that.
Yeah.
And when it turns pro, I'm turning pro too.
It was 15, 16.
Okay.
And I'll tell you the moment it happened. I was on holiday.
All right.
And we were in Spain. And, you know, like a lot of English people, you drink earlier than you do here, right? So you think nothing of having a pint of beer at 12 years old. And I drank a lot as a 15-year-old, and then I had my 15th birthday. We were on holiday, and suddenly I came back, and my dad said to me, he said, listen, you're not fit. You want to be a rugby player, but you want to go out drinking. You decide.
Okay.
And we had a bet, £20 bet, that I couldn't stop drinking for a month.
Yes.
And here we are 30 years later, and I've not touched a drop since. So
has he paid?
He never paid. He never paid. He never paid.
That was it was a bait and switch. So, so that set you straight and you said, now I'm going to be serious.
Yes.
And what does that look like? What is it? I don't know really anything about rugby. So give me a little glimpse. How does it look to get serious, and what'd you do?
So it's like any sport, right? It's hours in, performance out.
Got that part. Yep.
Doesn't matter what you're doing.
Like it.
But rugby's different to, you know, people say, oh, it's like football here, but without pads. It's not.
Okay.
And the difference is in rugby, you're playing for 80 minutes. So you're running for 80 minutes. You're moving for 80 minutes. You are very physical for 80 minutes. So you have the collisions and the contacts, but you've got to be fit to be able to get off the ground and get moving again. And it's high intensity, it's sprints and rest, but it's 80 minutes of it. And so what you do is you work on your cardio, and there was a lot of running.
Wow.
But not long running, not like you, Michael, not long running, but, you know, 25 meters, 50 meters, 75s, 100s, right. Just reps.
Okay.
Just painful reps.
Yeah, hard stuff.
And then the hard work was put weight on.
Okay.
So you imagine you're 15 years old and I'm 210 pounds, 220 pounds.
Wow.
And then I'm like, right, well, I've got to be 275 pounds, 290 pounds. How am I going to go and do that without putting on a load of body fat and still being able to run for 80 minutes?
Yeah, that's a challenge. That's different.
That's hard. So your focus at that point is get fit, get strong, lift weights, keep your mobility. Eat.
Wow. And
so that was it. That was what I did.
Dang. Okay. Eat, train.
Eat and train
some more.
And sleep.
And you're getting there. You're starting to see results. You're starting to make some teams. How's that look on a local, regional, state level?
Yeah, so you play country. You play strange words in England, but you play basically what would be the equivalent of state? So you have your city, then you have your state, then you have the north of England, then you have England.
What's it called? What do they call it over there? It's not states and cities.
Counties.
Counties. We have those. Okay. Counties. So, your county, your competing town or city,
town,
county.
County, the north of England, then England. That's how it goes.
And you went all the way through that. Are you feeling like, man, I'm better than all the kids in my town?
Oh, yes.
I'm better than the county now. I can see this going somewhere.
Yes.
Okay.
And suddenly you're at a point where you're like, oh, I think I'm quite good at this.
Like it.
This is good.
And so that's the beginning. You're growing. You're 15, 16, 17. You're 275 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking I was, you're twice my weight. No, not quite. But so now as you go into it, what's the highest level you get? What's the sustained? Because I feel like I remember you playing for quite a while.
I did. So I left school at 17 and then I signed and went and played rugby for 2 years and I was professional and dedicated and that's all I did every single day. But there came a point in that period and I was playing a very good level, very high league. The team that I was in was playing at the top league, the top division.
Gotcha.
And it was great. But there came a point where I looked around and some of my friends were getting big sponsorship deals.
Okay.
And we're playing full internationals, not age group stuff. We're then going and playing full internationals and we're winning World Cups and we're in the World Cup squad and all of these things. And you look around, and you're like, hang on a second. What about me?
Right, right.
And that was probably the first moment in life where I realized I'm not quite as good as I think I am.
Gotcha.
And maybe after 2 years of not reading a book or a newspaper or really speaking properly, grunting, lots of grunts, you know, the words weren't really stringing together very well. I decided that it was time to stop and to go back to university, get a degree and work out what the hell I was going to do other than get bigger.
Then get bigger. Okay. That makes great sense. And kudos to you now looking back that you made that decision, because I think a lot of athletes that get to that level, they don't see that and they just keep pushing along and they get nowhere. So, kudos there. So you went back to school, you have a master's degree from University of Leeds, am I right? Yeah. So that was just something easy. Boom. You're like, I'm done with rugby. Now I'm going to be superstar in the marketing world. What happened there?
I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Okay.
And so I went and got a business degree and then I went and got a marketing master's.
Okay.
And I still didn't know what I wanted to do. I was still playing semi-professional rugby at this point. And so, when I stopped playing pro,
You didn't stop playing.
I didn't stop playing. I was still playing every week, training 2-3 times a week, going to the gym, all of those good things.
Yeah.
And I was focused on being the best that I could be at that level, two days a week.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've got to go get a job and, I've got to work that out. And I sort of fell into marketing and fell into sales. That was how it progressed. It wasn't a conscious choice. It was I don't know what else to do.
Okay, yeah.
That's general enough that it's not going to hurt me.
For sure. And you had there must have been a natural ability in that area, in the business marketing world. I mean, you're excellent at what you do now. You had to have some sort of inkling or no?
Would you say? Not at that point.
Not at that point? No. Okay, so you developed that. All right.
Not at that point. I honestly have no idea.
Again, I'm going to step back and just say, because the cool thing for me is I intersect with you later in life. You're a top level and you're a pro athlete. You're a rugby player. And then now you're a high level executive, to be fair, at a large company that's international that everybody knows Heinz ketchup or Kraft mac and cheese, if you just name two. And you're at the top of North America.
Yep.
There's something I'm missing. You just got really good, or did you commit that same work ethic? What do you think got you to where you are now?
Listen, I say this to my team all the time. Timing is everything.
Okay.
You've got to be in the right place at the right time.
Correct.
And then have the nous and the ability to be able to take advantage of that. A bit of luck.
Okay.
And then a lot of determination and hard work.
Okay.
And when you put those three together, and what I see is I see a lot of people who have two of those three, sure, but not you don't often get all three coming together at the same place. And, you know, people tell me to stop saying I've been lucky, but there's a little bit of luck involved. And the luck probably comes from the timing.
But, sure.
But if you get it all those three together, then you're onto something.
I like that. I mean, this is something I love about you, Peter, is there's a level of humility, but really complemented with that confidence. I mean, you're a confident individual, you know you're capable. That's great. And that's just a compliment. So, all right, I'm going to kind of wind it forward. So now you're at Kraft.
Yep.
You're at Heinz. Do we say Kraft or Heinz? Kraft.
Well, I joined Heinz.
Okay.
In the UK, it's Heinz.
Okay, it's Heinz. Okay.
Kraft, everybody's like, well, what's okay. Kraft?
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, you guys probably have better macaroni and cheese, maybe. I don't know. What is it? Because I love it. My kids, they can't eat enough of it. Maybe something. Let's cut to the chase here. Yeah. When I find you, you're in Canada.
Yeah.
All right. So talk to us about, you're in Canada. We want to bring you to Boulder County. So how did you go from Canada? You're in Toronto?
Yes.
You're from the north of England, and now here we are sitting in Boulder, Colorado. So what happened?
Very quick plotted story is we're in Leeds, Catherine and I. We met at work.
Okay.
And the company we were working for, Procter & Gamble, were like, hey, we want you to come to London. And we're like, well, we'll give it a try.
Okay.
We'll go for 2 years. Because who wants to live in London? Nobody. We're like, let's go to London. So 2 years later, we're in London. We're like, well, we're never leaving London. London's amazing. This is the best thing ever. We bought a house, got married, had kids there.
Sure, life is good.
Life is amazing. And then one day I'm on a beach in Ibiza and I get a phone call from the CEO and he says, hey, I want you to come to Canada.
Okay.
And I didn't ask Catherine. I said yes straight away. I said, I'm in. Let's do it. And he was like, you better check with your wife. And I was like, ah, it should be fine, but I'll say yes and I'll go check with her. And I was like, hey, Catherine. We're going to go to Canada. She was like, okay. So after much debate, we ended up in Toronto, and amazing city. For those of you who've never been, Toronto is an amazing city, great food, great culture, multicultural, very a lot like London. It was an easy transition.
Yeah.
Queen was on the money, made life easy.
There you go.
and then after 4 years there, I got the opportunity to come and do this job and run the away from home business down here.
And they said, hey, you can move into the U.S., but you – am I wrong? Did you say I have to be within a couple hours of Chicago, right?
Well,
thinking like a drive.
Yeah, they were thinking a drive. Okay. They were thinking a drive. They were like, come down. I was like, I don't want to be in Chicago. I think they thought I wanted to stay in Toronto.
Sure.
Catherine and myself, we were done with the cold and the no sun and the lake temperatures and all of those stuff. And we were like, okay, so where do we want to be? And it's the first time in my life I've actually asked that question, where do I want to be, not versus where do I have to be?
That's it.
And, you know, because you grow up, what's the stat? 85% of people live within half an hour of where they were born in the world.
I believe it.
And, you know, we both were born in Leeds and lived in Leeds. And we were like, right, well, we're Leeds. Oh, no, we're now London. Now we're Toronto. Now where do we actually want to be?
That's cool.
So we sat down. And we wrote a list. What do we want? Mountains, skiing, Freya-like climbing at the time, sunshine, need to be near an airport.
Wow.
Lower taxes.
Yes.
Direct flight from the UK.
Okay. Criteria.
We wrote down our list. And then we were like, right, what are my options? We were like, well, there's maybe Vermont, there's Colorado,
mm-hmm.
there's Utah.
All right.
Utah was too far, right?
Gotcha.
Too far to work.
Yeah.
West of the Rockies doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
Burlington Airport's a disaster.
Gotcha.
So we sort of settled in Colorado.
Okay.
And Catherine hates me telling this story, but then I'm going to tell it anyway. Tell everybody. It's great. One day I watched a YouTube video and I was just on YouTube, sat in Toronto and looking at stuff in Colorado. And this trail runner came up and I can't even tell you who it was. But
oh, shame. Yeah.
Somebody running around all the trails here in Boulder.
Beautiful.
And I said to Catherine, I found the place.
That's it.
Here we go. This is the place. And we chose here off a YouTube video.
I think that's fantastic.
Of a runner.
On a run. Well, you know what? There are worse things.
There are worse
people
things.
Places. Okay. Yeah. So all right. That's when you come down here 3 years ago, 2021.
Yeah.
Get the call. I want to look at property. I want to move here. You move here. Now, here's the big question. YouTube and the trail runner.
Yeah.
And all those things you described that were on your list.
Yeah.
When you got here.
Yeah.
Was it like, sweet, we hit the jackpot. This is what we wanted. Or were you disappointed or somewhere in between? What was the reaction?
I'll tell you because we'd never been, we didn't know anybody who'd ever been. We didn't know anybody who'd ever been a holiday here. We knew nothing.
Nothing.
Like,
right.
Nothing. I'll tell you the moment that we all felt good. And we took an Airbnb for the first, 6 weeks?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
6 weeks to find a house.
Yeah.
No pressure. When you're on the 36 and you come over the ridge.
Yes.
And we'd landed, we'd all had jet lag. We got up at 4 o'clock. We were driving over. It was like maybe 5:36 a.m. We were driving down into Boulder and we came over the 36 and we saw the Flatirons and we were like, wow.
Right.
This is home.
Oh, amazing.
God, this is amazing.
And all four of you had that reaction. Everybody's taken.
All of us.
That's wonderful.
All of us.
Beautiful. Davidson Mesa. It's a money shot.
It's amazing.
It is. It's beautiful. And you guys were July, so it's beautiful. It's green. It's lush.
It was July. It was, and the sun was coming up, and it was just
fantastic.
Gorgeous.
Okay. And then, all right, that's wonderful. You're here now. You bought a home. You're rolling around in daily life. The girls from school, now you're in Boulder County life. You're in the valley.
Yeah.
What is it? What's it? Are you now still like, hey, this a year in, half a year in, something like that? You're still feeling like you got your spot.
Yeah, I think I having moved to down to London and then London to Toronto.
Yeah, big cities.
Yeah, we'd worked out what you got to do when you move somewhere.
Okay.
And when you're an expat and you don't know anybody, mm-hmm. you've got to. There's things you've got to do. You've got to work a little bit harder than you do if you're moving in your hometown.
For sure.
And that meant that we were ready to do that work and put the effort in to meet people and say yes to a lot of things that, you know, my instincts tell me we don't say yes to. But yes, I'll let's do it. Oh, God. But we went, we had a great fun 6 months saying yes to a lot of things because it was COVID. I wasn't traveling, which meant I could spend all of my time here. I was getting to know the area, getting to know the place, getting to know our house, where we were, our neighbors.
For sure.
And it was, it was a magical first 6 months, first 12 months, really getting to know the town, getting to know a lot of people, making friends, discovering. And that discovery phase really here doesn't stop because there's so much to do.
Good point.
And you got to keep doing that. But we really enjoyed it.
I like that a lot. So now let's talk about where kind of you and I also had a passion intersect. We found this out early on. And this is something I was going to intro with a bit of this and forgot. You have, and I know a few stats, you know all of them. You finished the Leadville Trail 100 run. Yeah. So Peter here, you guys were hearing him as a rugby player, 275 pounds. That's not Peter now. 100-mile run, the Run Rabbit Run.
Yeah.
You've done that. That's over 100 miles. You're doing it again this year. And you're a one-time finisher of the Bandera Trail 100, never to be finished again. You've done, so ultra trail running. And that's obviously a beautiful thing to do in Boulder, but Tell us how you got involved with ultra trail running. I mean, that's not rugby. It's the opposite end of the sport spectrum.
Yes.
Exactly.
The exact
totally
opposite.
Corner.
I love the mountains.
Okay.
I always wanted to live in the mountains.
Yeah.
If you'd have said to me 20 years ago, where do you want to live or end up? I'd have said in the mountains.
I like it.
And I figured, well, if I'm in the mountains, what am I going to do? What do people do in the mountains? And I asked you, and I asked other people, what do people do in the mountains? And you're like, well, you get on a bike. Yeah. Not great on a bike. You go for a run, you go for a hike. And I was like, well, let's try going for hikes and going for runs and see how it works.
Okay.
And it's about being outside in the fresh air and discovering the trails and
wonderful,
you know, and it's a little bit of that competitiveness as well.
I think that's got to be there. Okay.
I say to people, when people say to me, why do you do these 100 mile runs? My answer is actually because it's hard.
Yes. I like that.
Life's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. I've got a lovely house. I have food on the table. Mm-hmm. We can get pretty much whatever we want.
Right.
Okay. Life's easy.
Yeah.
Let me do something that's really bloody hard.
And because again, you just answered my question and I'll revisit. You're saying like, I want to do some trail running. I want to be in the mountains.
Yeah.
And that's like a lot of us would do 6 or 8 miles.
Yeah.
But you did 100 miles. So yeah. So it's because of the challenge.
Yeah.
And to make stuff tough.
Yeah.
Has it delivered?
Yeah. Oh, in spades. And every time I go out and do a long run, do 20 whatever on a weekend.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is.
I'm not built to go and run 100 miles. It is hard work, but it's enjoyable, fun. It de-stresses. I'm in the fresh air.
Yes.
No music, just listening to nature, making friends, talking to everybody who'll listen to me. Hey, how are you? Like, oh, this bloody English guy. It's great. I love it.
That's amazing. And you've got, and I mentioned it, you're not doing Leadville this, you're doing the Rabbit Run.
Yeah.
And then you're doing a few other races in the build-up.
Yeah.
Are you training a lot right now?
Training, ramping up.
How many miles a week would you say you're running?
So about 65.
65. Yeah. And so that's just mixed into the demanding work schedule. I mean, you just told me a minute ago you were in, and I can't remember them all, but Mexico City, Scottsdale.
Yeah.
I think you said Ohio.
Yeah.
So how do you manage that? Getting the miles in and getting the work in?
This is the bit about it being hard.
Yes.
Because it's so easy when I'm sat in a hotel to say no, but get up early, go to bed late, doesn't matter. Get your miles in every day.
Get it done. I've always seen this as I think that you call it the age group athlete, the working athlete has it way more dialed and way more difficult, I think, than any elite level athlete where you have your life set up around training.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to bed late and getting up early and doing the miles and traveling, all the stuff that's hard. So kudos again. We should talk about Mexico. Before we do, let's talk because some things you're like, oh, can't control it all. All right, you're in Boulder. Let's have some fun here too. With what if you were just going to tell someone you're moving here from anywhere? What's some stuff you wish you knew, or what's a tip you would share with someone about moving to Boulder County?
Firstly, universally, the people I've met here have been fantastic.
Okay, that's good to know.
I think people who are here, who have moved here, or people who have always lived here, are like kindred spirits.
I like that.
They like the place. They like what it stands for. They like the fact it's outside and it's nature and it's clean and it's beautiful, and that's nice to be around.
Sure.
I also would say to people that I hear a lot of people complain about the food here. It makes me smile.
Is that right?
Yeah, I hear a lot of people, the food's not great. Boulder's got amazing food, amazing restaurants, and probably one of the biggest food agencies in the world is here in Boulder.
Is that right?
And they're discreet and nobody knows they're here.
Right.
But they're here. And that tells you that food culture is very much alive in this place.
And those are people that are saying that are people that visit Boulder and they say, I don't like the food, or they live here and they say they don't like the food. I'm just kidding.
They live here and they're like, oh, the food's better in Denver. Or, and you're like,
is it? Wow. Okay. And that's great to hear. I mean, and segueing to that, if you were going to tell some of those people, have you tried? What would be sort of maybe a daily place you might suggest, or a fancy place, or a couple? Where should these guys go to get that point that it's great?
Or have you tried Mateo?
I have, and I agree with you. So that's one you put on top of the list, Mateo.
I'd like Mateo. If you want to go and really splash out, you say, have you tried Frasca?
Right.
And you go and have amazing Italian food.
Experience. Okay. Yeah. And I agree. Those are two wonderful restaurants. I've been there with you to each of those. Let's branch out to, is there a favorite lunch spot that you have? Is there a favorite breakfast spot that maybe you're thinking of, or you would like to invite me to this weekend?
Well, I've invited you. Let's go to Tangerine and just
Tangerine
because they've got great ketchup now. So it's good.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Good point. Yes.
I select where I go by ketchup. You know that.
I do. So no, that's a good. All right. Let's talk. So food, I agree with you. Those are good spots. And then if we come in and say, I know you're not a coffee drinker, so we'll kind of bypass where you got for coffee. But what about your favorite in all of the air you've seen so far? Where's your favorite place to hike with the family, run on your own, take the dog out for a run? What's a favorite outdoor space here that you've experienced so far?
I'm very lucky where I live that we've got the Benjamin Loop and Batasso Trail.
Yes.
Right by.
And
I just think that is, it's got every, I love that trail. 8 miles, 2 small loops. It's great for hiking with the kids. It's because you can do a 4-mile loop.
That's correct.
The dog loves it.
Yes. A
couple of streams. I love running on it. You can push yourself. You can take it easy.
Great tip.
I even go on the bike there.
You do. I know. Not on Wednesdays or Saturdays.
No, you have to definitely remember that not one. On Wednesdays or Saturdays.
Okay, good. So Benjamin Loop. And again, folks that haven't seen that yet, Peter lives up 4 Mile Canyon. So you can get to the Benjamin Loop off the 4 Mile Canyon main road, or you can come to Batasso up the canyon, up Sugarloaf, and then you'll tee right in there. Super accessible. But I think those are great tips. I love those trails as well.
Yes.
So that's it as far as if you were going to – okay, this is another one that kind of ties into that. Now, it could be just anything. But if you were going to say, I have the weekend off and I'm going to take maybe my 3 girls or maybe not, what's a perfect Boulder County experience for you day, Saturday, Sunday? Just how's it look start to finish? How would you craft that?
Depends when
what I did there?
Depends when it is in the year.
Okay.
But and I love skiing.
Yes.
And the girls love skiing.
That's great.
And I love nothing more than a weekend, drive up to Eldora, ski with friends.
Yes.
You know, we all potter around, stop, eat something high in saturated fat and inappropriate to eat at 11 o'clock on a Saturday.
Yes.
And then, you know, finish by, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock. And that to me is
it's a great day.
That's a great day.
I love that. I mean, that's what you came here for, that outdoor experience, that mountain experience. And it's so accessible.
So accessible.
That's good.
And then, minutes.
Okay. So perfect. So that's a winter. What would be, if you can think about it, and the lead in is like, what would be kind of the complimentary summer or warm month day here in Boulder?
So if I'm going to talk about being out in Boulder.
It could be anywhere. Yeah.
Okay. If I'm being very honest, it would be sitting by my pool and being happy grilling,
perfect.
Sitting by the pool and having friends around.
That's a good answer.
Think of nothing better to do.
Yeah.
If I was out and about, I love going to the farmer's market. I love going for a run on a Saturday morning.
Yes.
Finishing at the farmer's market.
Okay.
Meeting all the family at the farmer's market, having some food, having a bit of lunch, and then pottering home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
What a wonder. So, you know, we haven't heard that mentioned yet, and it really is a great experience. What a unique Wednesdays and Saturdays, kind of all summer.
Yeah.
And that Saturday experience is great,
fabulous.
Right?
Fabulous. Saturdays
perfect
is
weather,
amazing.
Good energy, good vibe, all the people out, good food.
Sit down on the grass, listen to some music, eat some good food, meet some interesting people. It's great. I love doing that.
It's snowing right now, and that literally just made me really want summer to come, thinking about that Saturday farmer's market. What a great, that's a good one. Okay. And then, all right, now we're just going to we're going to wrap it up because I'm saying like you probably thought of something else as we're going that we glanced over, and I'll give you a chance to bring that up. Maybe not, but all the way from England, by way of Canada, you land in Boulder County. Mm-hmm. You're high-level executive, and again, I'll brag for you, you're a badass at what you do. And then you came from sport, and now you throw yourself to the wolves, right? I think, in ultra running. I mean, it's tough training, it's tough competing.
Yeah.
With that sort of preface, when you hit the, I don't want to, or when you're just like, it's too much, What? How do you get through that? Because I'm asking really kind of curiosity and for myself, like all those hard days, how do you just say, I want to do this. I signed up for this.
I guess I've always had it in me, and some people have it or they don't, which is when it's hard for everybody.
Okay.
So if it's snowing out, like today, I've got to go run 10 miles.
Yeah.
It's snowing outside. I'm going up to Gold Hill. It's snowing. It's going to be cold and wet. And it isn't going to be fun. I'll always think, how many other people are out running today when it's cold and wet?
There you go. I like that.
There's less.
Fewer, yeah.
So my competitive spirit then kicks in and I'm like,
that's great.
This is where you make the difference.
Okay.
And that's how I think about it. And that's how I think about the hard work. And it doesn't matter whether it's running or it's at work, or I always think, what would my competitor be doing? What would somebody else be doing? And if then, are they prepared to go to the lengths that I'm prepared to go to get it done?
Right. That's brilliant. I like that a lot. Okay. No, that's good. And again, you said it. It's in you. That's who you are. That's your drive. And I think that I sort of, that resonates with me. It gets me out there too. And by the way, I already ran in the snow this morning, so I already got that done.
You know, congratulations.
5 to 6 feet of elevation gain across the course of that run. It's very flat. Okay. And then there's one little thing I'm going to throw at you. If you had someone, if you had someone that you think we need to talk to, have you met someone in Boulder? Do you know someone in the area that you're like, these guys, this person, this individual is fantastic. You need to hear their story. You can have a little, you put that back of your brain. Think about that. You got about 7 seconds. And then, if not, that's fine too. We like to kind of share and kind of grow into new relationships and new people. So there's that. It could be anyone.
Yep.
And then the other thing is just, as I said, anything that you thought, well, he didn't even bring this up and he's done a poor job. I want to mention something. Then we should talk about that now.
I think, okay. So let's talk about people.
Okay.
There's a friend of ours, Patrick, he's a sculptor.
Okay.
And he lives up towards, on Magnolia.
Okay.
And he is a lecturer. He goes to Italy every year to teach. He is a sculptor. Really? He works with metal.
Oh, fascinating.
Huge sculptures.
Okay.
Super interesting. Been around this area all his life.
Okay.
Great guy.
He'd be fun. Patrick, I'll ask you to introduce us maybe. Patrick, sounds cool.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. What haven't you mentioned?
I mean, I don't know. It doesn't have to be.
There's always something.
There's a lot. I just didn't know. Sometimes I'm sitting there and I spark a memory and I say, you got to bring that up. If not, that's okay too.
I've got many inappropriate stories I can tell right now, but they're all inappropriate, so I won't tell them. I think one of the things that surprised me is how many secret places there are in Boulder.
That's interesting.
When you're out, there's like the little locals places, and it could be food or it could be places to eat, or, you know, my friend Ryan, who's also a very interesting
Ryan
character.
Could be a fun one. I was thinking
Ryan could be a very, Ryan could be a very fun guy. He is, he tells me about a breakfast place that he goes to. I can't remember the name of, but he's like, have you ever been there? And I'm like, no. He's like, it's got like 5 seats. You need to be there.
Amazing.
And I'm like, okay.
And
then the same with trails and running. And
yes,
you know, I'm lucky. Yeah. I've got like a little locals trail just a mile from the house, and nobody goes. You're only going to go there if you know it's.
So I'm guessing you can't say where that is.
I can't say where that is, but it's an amazing Fantastic. Trail.
Yes. Okay.
You know.
That's a cool thing, and that's something that I have on here on my list is, hey, what are some Boulder County secrets or local-only hotspots? It's on my list of questions, and if you have one you want to share, certainly now, but I think you're right. There are, and I've been here, 23 years, and I'm finding stuff for the first time still, a lot of things, and it's either from a recommendation or I just stumble upon it, and I said, I didn't know this existed.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat, and we're happy to have you share one, or happy to turn off the record button, and you can tell me off. Line if that's better. So,
but it comes to that bit about curiosity, right?
Correct.
If we sit here and we're curious and we're interested and we listen and we're we hunt it, there's stuff out there.
That's
if you just do the same 5 things every day,
yep,
I think you're in the wrong place.
Yes, for sure. You're not experiencing, and that's it. And I mean, in the end, this is like we said, a conversation about great people and a great place to live and how we all interact differently with it. And I think we're all trying to expand and grow and learn new things. So
100%.
That's what it's all about.
100%.
So amazing. Well, you know what? This is, I think, a great time to say thank you for your time. Thanks for sharing your story. Like I said, I didn't know that about the beginning, the early days. Thank you for being here, spending time with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I'll give you the unedited version next time.
We'll do that. I look forward to it. In the meantime, on this, at the close of this conversation, I'll remind you that prior to our next episode, our next conversation, that you go out there, as always, and do something that you love.